Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Good morning. We are so glad you're here. We've been in this series talking about the traps of life, those moments where we just get so desiring the things of this world, how we want to measure up, we want to keep up with everything else and everything that this world has to offer. We look for that perfect promotion, that dream job. We have that desire for the perfect car, the perfect vacation, the best friends. It's a trap so often. We're calling this series Chasing Carrots, and we've been identifying with this hamster on that wheel week after week, considering the ways that we just chase after the things of this world, and it just takes us absolutely nowhere. I imagine most of you can identify with me when I say, man, I've bought into that lie that says if I could just get this, or if I could just obtain that, it would take all of my cares away, right? And the reality is when we reach that point, as we've discussed week in and week out, it leaves us as empty as we began the pursuit. So that's what we've been looking at, is discovering the ways to get unstuck from this. We began the conversation a few weeks ago already, looking at this idea of fame and the idea of wanting to become famous or known, whether it's on social media or even in society. We've considered the trap of money and stuff and how it lures us in. We've considered even last week this idea of perfectionism and how the idea of trying to be perfect is this mirage. It cannot happen. And yet so many of us buy into it. This next week, we're going to conclude our time together by looking at this idea of our society's drive for comfort. And we're going to have special guests with us. This is Mike and Jamie Askew. They reside presently in the Dominican Republic. They're in America right now getting their visas and some of the other stuff finalized. They were missionaries in Haiti and then rushed out of Haiti to get over to the other side of the island, to the Dominican, when things in Haiti began to crumble earlier this year. And so we got to know, several of us got to know Mike and Jamie that went to the Dominican this past November. So we're super excited they're going to be with us next week. The little thing shaking there reminds us that we're going to receive a love offering for them next week. So I wanted you to have a week's notice on that, a way to bless their family so that you can be prepared for that. You can give that online. You just mark it through the online giving love offering, and we'll get that to them as well. But I'm so looking forward to how God is going to use them. We're going to spend some of our time sitting here on stools and kind of talking with Mike and Jamie, and you're just going to get a part of this conversation, and then Mike's going to have a few moments to share some of their journey as well. It's just going to be a great conclusion to what we've been talking about. But as we consider this idea of pursuit for more, this drive for more, today what we really want to look at is this trap of wanting to be accepted. We're going to dance again on the idea of relationship and how this can trap us in so many different ways. Dr. Harriet Breaker, I don't know if anyone has ever heard of her. She passed away tragically in 2005 from pneumonia, but she was a world-renowned clinical psychologist for over 25 years, and she studied specifically the effect of stress in our lives. And she named something, she gave this phrase of what it means to have this obsessive need to be accepted. She called it the disease to please. I love the how that just kind of rolls off the tongue and how that's so easy to remember. The disease to please. She linked this with several internal and external addictions. You know, we're very comfortable to talk about addictions of alcohol or drugs or even food. But there's an addiction to be accepted that she identified many, many years ago. And we're probably familiar in our society with what a type A personality is. Some of you may feel that way. I've been called a type A person before. This person is typically outgoing, ambitious, rigid. They're very impatient with others. They're anxious. They're proactive, concerned about time management and efficiency. Man, I always think about trying to be efficient, and yet I find myself being incredibly inefficient at times. But Dr. Breaker took type A to another level. She calls this type E. This is the craving to be everything to everyone. Now, she identified this largely in the female gender, But I believe this has impact on all of us, especially with the raise, the kind of how social media is out of control, that we have this incredible craving within us to be everything to everyone, and we want that to happen. So living a life that is constantly seeking this level of acceptance, this level of affirmation, it has significant impact in our own thought process. Just think about how this might influence you. Have you ever thought to yourself about somebody, do they like me? Have you ever questioned, why aren't they responding to me faster? What's going on? You're waiting for them to respond to your text or your email. Have you ever asked, I wonder if they approve of me? I ask that of my own family, my parents, all the time. Do you approve of how I'm living my life? Why haven't you initiated conversation? Are we okay? And you're thinking about your relationship status with people. Are we good? Have you ever wondered, and this might be a little bit more of a female thing than a guy thing, but do you like my outfit? Do you like my hair? Do you have any hair? You know, that's what guys worry about. How am I doing at my job? If you have a boss, you're wondering, am I meeting your approval? And you're constantly worried about doing things the way that they want to be done. People who struggle with this line of thinking also struggle with this idea of saying no, which we've mentioned multiple times. But you don't want to risk hurting anyone's feelings because you want them to accept you and to love you. And so you just are filled with all kinds of anxiety, stress, and even depression because we're constantly worried about what people will say. And we don't want to say no to anyone. That's why when the Boy Scouts come selling their magazines or whatever they sell these days, you buy something because you don't want to break the little boy's heart. That's why we buy Girl Scout cookies, and they sell them at the worst possible time of the year, right? And so we buy those Girl Scout cookies because they just have the ability to turn it on. And, you know, they are good, but, you know, they're just cookies. And we buy them because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Last week, we talked about perfection, like I mentioned, and we acknowledge that Scripture sometimes doesn't help us. You might remember, if you were with us, we looked at Matthew 5:48, where Jesus said, "Be perfect, as even my Father in heaven is perfect." And we wrestled with what that verse really meant, because if we read that in that translation, it seems like even Jesus is raising this bar of perfection. And Scripture does the same thing for us today, because Paul has said something in 1 Corinthians that I think really makes us feel like we've got to be loved and accepted by everyone. He wrote it this way, "Even though I am free of the demands and the expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, the meticulous moralist, the loose-living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever." I'm reading this from the Message paraphrase, and when I read it from that paraphrase, it just stood out to me that Paul is doing everything he can to be accepted by absolutely everyone. The God-fearing people, the people that don't even call out on God. I mean, he speaks about freedom from the law all the time, but in this moment, he voluntarily surrenders that freedom so that he can enslave himself to the people around him, to gain acceptance by them. And it sounds absolutely exhausting. Now, I want you to see the picture of what Paul's saying, because he's saying that he wants to become all things to all people. If you have this memorized, to that he might reach some, is the version that I had memorized. He's wanting to become all things to all people so that he can speak about Jesus. That's the motive. But the reality is, he is working like crazy to be liked and loved by everyone. And the reality is that working to please everyone is the disease to please. It is the thing that infiltrates our soul like a disease that causes us to think the way that we do or act the way that we act. And I got to be pretty clear here that Proverbs calls it a snare or a trap. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs 29. It says, "Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety." Fearing people, fearing what they think of me, thinking, you know, wondering what they are thinking about me, accepting me, loving me, that is a dangerous trap. People's opinions of you, their desires of you, dangerous. Because what it does is it pulls you in all different kinds of directions. The word here that's the Hebrew word for trap, in some translations it's called a snare. That Hebrew word is mokish. It's a word that literally means a noose for catching animals or a hook placed in the nose of an animal. We'll see these pictures here. Some of these kind of set heavy on us because we don't like to see them. But the reality is that's the picture of the trap that is mentioned here in the Hebrew text. It is a trap not to hold you down. It is a trap to pull you away. It is a trap to lure you, to make you go somewhere. The trap of acceptance is no different than the trap that these farm animals or this dog feels when they are ensnared in the noose or have the hook in their nose. They have no choice of where to go in those moments. That's the trap that Solomon is speaking of in this moment. Now, this can be a huge issue in my own life. I got to be honest with you. This can be a monster issue in my life. Because if I'm not really careful, I get really caught up in what you think. I get really caught up in, did they like what I said? Did I say it okay? Was my eye contact good? Did people respond to what I put down on paper and how I said it? I get really caught up in the idea, if I see guests in our church, which we have, we're blessed every Sunday to have people coming and they're friends of yours, or they just heard it and they come, and I get caught up, did they like it? Will they return? Are they coming back? I get caught up in the social media post after a Sunday morning message, and I'll scan in the afternoon and see, did anybody have a comment? Did anybody say anything about what they heard? Did it impress anything upon anybody? Did God use me to work in some capacity? I get caught in that trap of your acceptance. Not only that, I get caught in the trap of other human acceptance. I got a house full of college kids this weekend. Corbin brought home three friends. And so we've got those four boys and our daughter there, and there's been kids in and out all weekend. It's been awesome. I do love the empty nest. I like when it's full, but I've also grown very accustomed to the empty nest. Now, these college boys don't think, right? We know this. One of these guys is getting married this year, and for his groomsmen present of inviting some of these guys to be groomsmen, bought for them incredibly hot sauce. Now, the name of this hot sauce is called The Bomb. You should understand that that is the clear sign right away to run. If someone says, Bomb, do you go check that out? No, you run, right? I should have listened. But the desire to want to be the coolest college father ever got the best of me. Friday night, we had pulled pork ready, and the bomb was set on the table. Now, the label says use one drop at a time. There's a reason for that. I used four. I couldn't feel my lips for a half an hour. I told Tammy, feel the top of my head. I think it's on fire. It was so hot. So some of these boys had tried this, and they knew what was coming, and two of us hadn't. But I had to be the coolest dad, right? So I tried the bomb. That was a 24-hour experience I never want to experience again. And here's the deal. I smelled the bomb first. It smelled like a musty Motel 6 hotel room. Why would you eat it? To be accepted, right? To be the coolest dad ever. And so this thing, it gets me all the time when I have this issue of wanting to be accepted. The reality is no one can please everyone. Those guys weren't looking at me like you're the coolest dad of all time. Like, you are a bigger idiot than we are. You're 47 years old and chose to eat that stuff, right? Now, the other part of my job here in the trap of trying to make you like me or you accept what I do here is that it's not my job for you to like me. Quite frankly, if you read Scripture, you'll come to a clear point of view pretty fast. That my job is not to make you feel better every Sunday. Sometimes my job is to give you a little swift kick in the behind to wake you up and to get your spiritual slumber out of there and to start working for Him. Now, I can't do that if I'm constantly consumed by my feelings of how you feel about me, right? You see that? I'm not here to beat you up every week, but there are days that God wants to use what happens here to wake us up. You know, do you ever wonder why so many prophets in Israel were killed? Because the people didn't like their message. Did the prophets make up their message? No. They spoke what God shared with them, and the people refused to repent, and they killed many of God's chosen people. Now, we're in our civilized world, we would never kill the pastor, right? But I have many a colleague who has been run out of town because they refused to make the message easy. They refused to make the message widely acceptable or worried about your affection. Not yours, but the church's acceptance. And so the cost of faithfulness for them was life on the run. That has happened. That happens. Our role to communicate to you is to speak truth. And sometimes truth can hurt. So as followers of Jesus, we cannot be consumed by what others think of us. That cannot be our prevailing thought. Now notice I didn't say as Christians. I said as followers of Jesus. There are many people parading around this world, especially in this country, who want to use the label Christian. They want to adopt that label, but they refuse to live a life that reflects that ideal. They are faking it. They're playing a game, right? I'm talking about as followers of Jesus, as disciples, true disciples, we cannot be consumed by what others think of us. Instead, we have to literally build our lives around, every part of our life around around living for God. Every part of our life has to be filtered through the Word of God, has to be filtered through the Spirit of God and God alone. That's how we are to be as true followers, disciples of Christ. This will cost you. If you want to be a Christian, you can be accepted in this world. There are people that want to call themselves that all day long, but if you want to be a true follower of Christ, I guarantee you at some point it will cost you the rejection of somebody. It will cost you in this drive of desiring to be accepted. This can't be just a theory we work with. This just can't be something we think sounds good on Sunday morning. We have to live our lives in such a way that we embrace His will. We embrace His purpose. We embrace His glory. And that is what we are consumed by. Now, Paul was worried that the message of Jesus would become so popular that people would make it so easy that the gospel could get watered down so that it would become so popular, or that the truth of the gospel would be twisted so that it would become more palatable for the people, that he spoke a warning against this. His warning was to not change the message from what they had been first told. He said it this way in Galatians. Obviously, he wrote, I am not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. So if pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Now, this kind of stands. Remember, Paul said, I'm trying to be all things to all people that I might reach some. And now he's suddenly saying, I don't care what people think. My only goal here is to reach others or to gain God's approval. The difference is the motive in this moment, because earlier Paul was talking about, I want to reach people for Jesus, which means when I'm around people who don't know God, I need to blend in with them a little bit. And when I'm around people that follow the law rigidly, I need to understand and respect that so that I can speak into their life about the truth and the realities of Jesus. But in this moment, what Paul is feeling are the Judaizers of the Galatia region who are calling him out. And they're saying, Paul, you can't live free from the law like this. You cannot behave like this. You can't just throw away everything that we've known. Those Jewish followers were really going after Paul and saying that he was illegitimate, that his message had no truth. And what he was saying was, I don't care what you have to say about me. I don't care how you criticize me. What Paul is saying is that I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to make all of this make sense, because my job is to follow what God tells me to say. My job is to live the way that God has told me to live. And that if I were a person, he says, essentially, that I just wanted to please you, human beings, then my ministry would be negated. My ministry would not matter at all, because I will either be your servant or I'll be his, but I can't be both. And when I read it this way this week, I thought of my 25 years of this role of being a pastor for teenagers and for young adult or adult ministry, doing discipleship ministry, and the last 11 being your pastor. And I thought, how many times have I been too consumed about being your servant more than being his servant? And there was a moment of conviction that kind of flooded me. Have I been willing enough to say the hard things, the things that you might not want to hear, but the things that God is pressing upon me to say so that we would walk more boldly for him? There have been moments, I believe, where I have failed in that. And I want to ask you for a moment to stop and ask yourself this question: who do I serve? Who do you serve? Who are you chasing acceptance from? Is it from others or is it from God? Is it from what others may think of you and your reputation, or is it toward faithfulness, toward the truth? Teenagers who are here today in this service, be honest with yourselves. Who do you serve? Singles who are here among us, listen, the longing in your heart to belong is significant and it's real, but too often it can cause you to compromise. That same truth is here for even us married folks, that the desire to be accepted causes us to compromise far too often. The ministry of Jesus reached many people. His miracles as he traveled around were amazing. I wish for most of my life, I just wished that I could have been with Jesus to see all that he accomplished. What I read in the Gospel of John, though, was that many believed, but John acknowledged that many more did not believe. They saw the same miracles. They heard the same words, but when they wrestled with them, they said that Jesus was not legitimate. Many believed, but John wrote, many more did not. But then he acknowledged a third group in his observation. There were some who believed, but did not want to admit it in public. It's written in John 12. We'll begin in verse 37. But despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe. Then he quotes Isaiah, and Isaiah prophesied about this a long time ago. We'll jump down to verse 42. Many people did believe, he wrote in him. However, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. Verse 43 needs to be underlined, highlighted, however you do this. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. That cuts to the bone, doesn't it? They loved human praise more than the praise of God. They loved their position in society. They loved their role in the temple. They loved their clout among their friends more than they would allow themselves to love the Son of God, the Messiah that they've been waiting for all of their life. They loved the praise of the people more than walking faithfully with God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this, I think, how crazy are those people? How crazy that they would see Jesus, see the miracles, hear his words, and believe, but be too afraid to talk about it, be too afraid to admit it for fear of someone rejecting them. But then I began to ask myself, how many times have I been talking to a friend and too afraid to share God's love with them when I know that's the answer that they need? How many times have I compromised my morality by engaging in off-color humor or a slanderous conversation? How often have I allowed my children to make a decision they have no business making because I just want them to like me? Our kids won't like us for a long time, I'm told. Have you ever ignored the prompting of God within you to be kind to a complete stranger or to be extra generous to someone you know? Have anyone here ever lost sleep over the reoccurring thought that somebody has an issue with you, somebody has rejected you, and that thought consumes you? Have any of you put in extra hours on a project not for excellence, not to do what God says, to do everything excellent, not to give God glory, but because there's someone in the room that when you present, when you roll this thing out, there's going to be someone who will see it, and you want them to be so impressed by your greatness. If we've said yes to any of this, we are no different than the Jewish leaders who believed in the miracles and the words of Jesus but refused to acknowledge it, because we have compromised for the sake of acceptance a part of our faith. See, we've all bought some lies in our lifetime that say my performance, what I do, that will get people to like me. For a long time in my elementary and middle school years and college years, I thought that if I could be funny, people would like me. That got sent me out into the hall a lot. And I was willing to risk it for the sake of somebody liking me. Any other class clowns out there? Lies that would often tell us to just go along with the crowd because they'll love you. Those same lies work in our spiritual life. If I do what God tells me to do to an excessive level, then finally He'll accept me. That's a lie. And the church has been really bad at this over its history because we have not done a good job of accepting others, loving others, extending grace to others. We have a reputation in our world, one reputation. And unfortunately, the church's reputation is not abundant love. The church's reputation is judgment because we have failed to accept others and to love others with the extravagant love and grace that God has commanded us to live by. Now, here's what I hope we can take from this day. What matters most is not what others think about you, but rather what God says about you. It's not what others may think about you, it's what God says about you. What matters most is not how you're going to bend over backwards to gain some level of acceptance or popularity in your social circle. That's the trap. That's the noose. That's the hook in the nose, right? What really matters is focusing on what God says about you, and He has a lot of powerful things to say about you. I was going to talk about these statements, and last night I decided to write them out, put them in your bulletins this morning. I appreciate the help that I got from the Romanek granddaughters back here to get these all stuffed in here. So if you have a bulletin today, you can take this out. This is also available in a larger form at our hub out here in the hallway. If you'd like a color version of this to post at your house or at your office, it's also available online in a PDF form where you can download this. These are various I am affirmations for you in Scripture. I don't have time to go over them today. What I want you to do is to read over them. You may need to start your day, every day, affirming yourself of what God says about you, that you are greatly loved, that you are His child, that you were bought with a price, that you have been forgiven and are free from sin, that you are made clean and a new creation. I'm not sure what will leap off the page there. I'm not sure how God will use this to speak to you, but I believe if you repeatedly remind yourself of this truth, that God has already loved you and accepted you and His approval is clear, that it will break you from the disease to please. I believe God's approval sets us free from the bondage of constantly needing to gain the approval of others. You need to believe in what God has said about you, what He's constantly saying about you, and you need to ignore the fear of how others may reject you. This is the greatest truth you may need to hear today. If you're being constantly pulled by the desires of other people and what they think about you in your life, claim God's words for you. How is God speaking to you in this issue? How has your pursuit of acceptance distracted you or caused friction in your spiritual journey? What has pulled you away from the best that God has for you? Have you been guilty of valuing your reputation with others over your investment of deep and meaningful faith decisions with God? I believe that that's probable for many of us here today. So this week I want to challenge you to ask yourself, how are you investing your time and your energy? Are you constantly worried about what others say or think about you? Or are you investing your time and your energy into how God views you and what He says about you? Are you being driven in your life to make others accept you? Or will you find your confidence, your hope, in the fact that God has already accepted you, already loves you? I'm really excited to see how God is going to speak that truth into your life on a daily basis and change how you view yourself. I believe someone here today has been struggling because you have felt rejected by others so often. And there's someone here today, I believe, that has even felt the rejection of God in their life. I don't know how it started. Maybe it started with your family, or maybe it started with friends in your adult life that has created deep wounds within you. But this drive within you to be accepted has just driven a wedge in so many different ways in your life. Teens, the pressure to be accepted demands so much from you today. That pressure is off the charts. Don't give in to it. Don't give in to the idea, any of us, that people's affirmations mean more than God's. Today, God is, I believe, through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking His affirmation, His love over you. And my prayer is that it will just saturate your heart. Because today is the day that you can turn that struggle over to God, a God who loves you, who sent His Son to die for your sins, to set all of this right. You do not have to live your life with a noose of acceptance wrapped around your neck. You do not have to live your life being pulled by the demands of everyone else. You need to live your life through the acceptance and the love of a God who sent His Son to die for you, and accept that, and to move into that affirmation and that acceptance, because that's where you'll find hope and that's where you'll find meaning for life. Let's pray together. Lord God, today I pray that You will hear the prayers radiating from each of our hearts today. Those of us who are bold enough to acknowledge that we have been pulled to and fro by the demands of others, or the desire to want to be accepted and loved by others at the cost of compromising our own faith to You. Hear Your people today as they pray from the depths of their souls in the quietness of this moment. Help us, God, to live more for You and less for us. Continue through this series and our reflection on Your words to show us the cravings of our life and how they are causing distance between us and You. And may we make decisions to have more of You, God, and less of us. More of Your ways and less of our ways. May it be so. We long today, God, for You and You alone, for we need You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.